butt, vagina.
Penis butt, more vagina.
Penis butt and even more vagina. What's up? Welcome to the Buff Boys. Matt Maron, Joe Gorman, our guest today. Got a special coming out. Late bloomer, very funny comic, Derek Humphrey.
What up, dogs?
What's up, Derek? How you doing?
Oh, chilling. How are you guys?
Good. Is this your first special out? I think you had one before, or this is your first album?
First album.
First album.
Yeah,
album,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, how was the recording?
It was great. Yeah. I did it at New York Comedy Club. They were super sweet and accommodating. And
yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know? So it was a lot of fun. I didn't bomb. That was always nice.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, dude. That's awesome. We're in the Epcot of people dropping specials, man.
I know.
It's awesome. No, that's a good thing. It's good that like so much talent is and the accessibility of it has reached this certain apex.
There's a democracy that's kind of happening. A democratization of culture and comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, with social media in general, that's what everyone says the best thing about it is that everyone has a voice, and the worst thing about it is everyone has a voice.
Yeah, yeah. It's twofold. I mean, there are a lot of comics who are, you know, putting out specials, and maybe they could wait to season it a little bit more before they do. Mine was probably way overdue, you know? So, like, you know.
Aged to perfection. Yeah. Like a fucking wine in a cask of Amontillado.
Like a fine truck roast.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the way to do it, dude.
Fine truck roast.
Mine's never going to be released. It was on the dark web for a little while.
Oh.
But
what was
it? It was called Killing Them Softly, too. but like what really sucks is like when Epstein's Island got raided, that was taken. Amongst the zip drives.
That's unfortunate.
So I'm sorry. Hey,
it was
guys.
It was in the temple.
Yeah. You want to hear my commentary on the Bush administration? You're going to have to take it up with the FBI.
Right. That was your first. Your second special was in the classified documents that Trump took to Mar-a-Lago, though,
that's
right?
True.
Yeah.
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 So, that was cool. I watched a little documentary on P. Diddy. He's been a naughty little boy.
Is there a documentary out on him?
There's already one. TMZ released it. It's called The Fall of Diddy.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
There's one on
Tubi. YouTube.
There's one on Tubi called Diddy Do It.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
And Tubi. I think there's a few of them that are like on Tubi or Freebie. Again, that goes back to the democratization of culture there. Mm, where just
yes.
Anybody
the turnaround. Yeah. The turnaround on that was great. Because it used to be like, oh, it would take like decades before all of the information surfaced.
Yeah. Did you see there's a trend that was happening whenever somebody gets in trouble like this? Somebody will comment, the CIA must have got sick of Diddy or something like that. Because
video. What did they do to piss off the powers that be?
Right. And it's like, I don't know if it was the CIA directly involved in that. But
you're getting too close, dude.
I know.
You heard the sirens. Got nervous, dude. Don't worry.
Don't worry,
dude. At Gumi Studios, we have super First Amendment rights. Where it's like, not only can like you say whatever you want, it's impossible to get in trouble for what you say on here.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that fucking cool, dude? That's how it should be. That's what
it's a crazy, you know, it's crazy we were able to find a studio that allows that.
Yeah. That's how it should be. Like everyone's like, oh, well, it means freedom of fucking words, but that doesn't mean freedom from consequences.
It should be like, freedom of consequences.
It should be freedom of consequences. I should be able to say the N-word, and a black guy shouldn't be able to beat me up for it.
Exactly.
I should be able to say, like, ha, 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 you stupid N-word. Look at you, dude. You'll never have sex with my wife.
Yeah.
Right? And,
again.
Like, he shouldn't be able to do
that.
And he shouldn't be able to do anything about it, dude.
Well,
but we live in this fucking disgusting society where I'm basically a second-class citizen, where a black guy could beat me up. Why? Because I called him the N-word?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Not being able to say the N-word does make me feel like a second-class citizen.
Isn't it crazy? Black people have been chill with being called the N-word for, like, generations.
Yeah, and they were like, chill about it this whole time.
And then, like, the internet comes around, dude. I'm sorry, dude, but if you look it up, there were so many, like, fucking slave fucking hymns and shit. You know, how many fucking IT songs do you have? None, dude. That's a job they fucking hate. But man, you love slaving so much, you're writing fucking songs about it. Get
out of
here.
I don't know that they loved it. I think it was more like, you know,
remember that old Chinese
pass the time.
Yeah.
Remember that old Chinese song? I've been working on the railroad.
Yeah.
It was originally played by gongs and fucking string instruments.
Yeah.
I've been working on the railroad.
You know, you're not wrong that you should be able to say, you know, technically whatever you want. And the person who does hit you is actually legally in the wrong.
Isn't that sick?
However, culturally, we just do not vibe with that.
Culturally, you know? they wanna crucify the white man.
Yeah.
They did it a couple thousand years ago with this fella named Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And now they're doing it again with every guy that makes over 75K and maybe has a funny idea he wants to post on Twitter, currently known as X.
I just saw a thing recently. You remember John Rocker,
the greatest baseball player of all time?
12 of his jerseys.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. I have his autograph.
Yeah. Hall of Famer and Joe's. First Amendment Hall of Famer. Former baseball pitcher who did an interview with Sports Illustrated and said all kinds of racist things. The guy who wrote that article has a TikTok now. It's the same guy who wrote.
I see that guy.
Yeah. Jeff Perlman. He's the same guy who wrote about the Showtime Lakers that the TV show Winning Time was based on.
He's like dancing and shit now? Is that what he does? Like
He just tells stories from his like time as a reporter. And one of them was about after the John Rocker article came out, he got a letter from John Rocker's mom comparing him to Jesus Christ. John Rocker's mom sent a letter to the reporter saying, "You're like another young Jewish man back in the day who had a tough decision to make, but unlike him, you chose wrong."
Why was it the bad decision? Because he said
he chose to say all like make expose John Rocker, who also just seems like a psycho. The guy also told a story. Someone asked him, "At what point did you realize John Rocker was crazy?" And he said, "Well, I get down to Georgia, he's driving me around, and as soon as a car in front of us is driving slow, he yells, 'I fucking hate how Asian women drive.'" They drive by, it's just a white guy.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
And they get to a toll booth and John Rocker throws the coins in and it wouldn't open, so he like threw more coins in, more. He paid like three times, and some guy behind him honks and he flips him off and hits his head out the window and goes, "Fuck off." And then the gate opens and he hocks a loogie into the toll booth.
Oh my
God. He's like, that was day one of this reporter just meeting John Rocker and hanging out with him for the day.
And he was like on his way to go speak to children.
He was on his way to speak to like disadvantaged children or something.
Yeah.
No, he's probably on fucking steroids, dude. And that's why he was fucking flipping out so much.
Also that, and you know, a lack of perspective on the world.
Yeah. He's a fucking white guy, dude. Like, although, let's be real, dude. I know I was just like defending white guys not 5 minutes ago, but honestly, hearing that gripping tale about John Rocker, I've learned the error of my ways. And now I want a white person holocaust, dude, which is actually the name of my third special, White Holocaust. It's me like throwing a bunch of like white people into a fucking oven, dude.
Yeah.
But it's like a Tostino's pizza oven.
Mm.
So like they're in there, but I'm also like, everyone's also holding Tostino's pizza rolls.
Yeah.
It's a very intricate album art. I spent more money on the album art than I did on the recording. I had to record the whole thing on my iPhone, dude. Can you believe that?
Not in the least bit.
Oh my God, it sucked, dude.
I'm surprised they didn't use Easy Bake ovens.
Yeah.
It would have been quicker.
If
it were Jews doing Holocaust, they would have did it to cut costs.
I'm glad that you're Jewish so that we can make these. Yeah.
Fisher Price like recovered like the blueprints from Nazi Germany, and that's how they reverse engineered it to make an Easy Bake oven.
Yeah. Is Fisher Price, because Fisher's like a German last name, and I guess Price sounds like a Jewish last name.
Wow. That really makes you think. Matt, look, you're friends with Babastis now.
Kind of. We don't really talk.
That's all right, but you took your little pills, dude.
Yes, I took my little pills.
He looks rough.
He is a rescue cat. He is from Patterson, New Jersey.
Oh, poor Patterson.
Yeah, dude, he had a rough life. He had you can see like he has a little bit of frostbite on his ears.
Yeah, poor
he was
guy.
A homeless cat. His tail's all fucked up. He was hit by multiple cars.
Oh,
so he doesn't have
poor
any
buddy.
Teeth. But he's been with us for the past 2 years, and in that time, a lot of his fur has grown back. He's been like so much healthier. He put on like
that's sweet
3 pounds.
Guys. Yeah,
so.
That's good.
And he's killed like 3 mice. He's still like
he's still got it in him.
He's still got that beast in him, man.
He's still got that dog in him.
You know, you still you
see, got that John Rocker in him.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, like you know, we can't hear like there's like, you know, every house in Brooklyn has, you know, a mouse problem. yeah. whether like whether you can see them or not.
Sure. Yeah.
But he hears them in the walls, and then like his whole like body type kind of changes, and he starts like kind of his shoulder blades go back and his ears go down.
Oh,
and, like,
it kicks in.
He kind of he kind of has like that little feral look to him.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see like, damn, cats are not nearly as domesticated as dogs, because like Finn, like our sweet dog Finny, he will see a squirrel in the park and he doesn't know what to do. Now my sister, she has a dog that is definitely like more like wild wolf or dingo.
Yeah.
And I've taken him walking. He's grabbed gophers on the walk and swallowed them whole. But Finn doesn't even know what to do with like he's never caught anything. Like he chases them around, but he chases everything around. But
I have a bulldog and she every now and again will
we also have
act like she's gonna get a pigeon. It's like, come on, dude, you're so slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he doesn't he wouldn't know what to, and like he has teeth, but as you can see, like they're very like it's like
right,
you know,
right. It looks like he'd have a hard time taking down a carrot.
Yeah, he's a little guy. Yeah, he has to have everything. Like we have a farmer's dog, and even if like it comes out in like a chunk, and I have to break it up because he can't
poor Finn again.
Yeah, and like even when he nips at me, it's not like enough to, you know. So when we have to give him medicine and stuff, it's not that bad.
Mm. Yeah,
but
to very opposite ends of the animal spectrum.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, like my sister's dog and my mom's dog got into a fight like last time they were together. Those are both like big 50-plus pound dogs.
Yeah,
so they get into fights like over food, and that's like, you know. Well, we won't bring Finn around my sister's dog because, you know, Finn's like a little shit that's unaware of his size, which is like another.
Most dogs are. Yeah.
It's the funniest. Dogs have the best body positivity. I've said it before. I'll say it a million times. Like
all dogs are like bagel boss.
Well, like a little. Yeah. Like a little dog is like, I can fucking defend my whole family. Get behind me, family. I'll protect you. And like a big dog is like, oh, I'm just a little lap puppy. Let me just crawl into your lap because I'm just so tiny. Or you can pick me up. I'm just a little pup. But he's like, you know, 55-pound dog. It's like, you're fucking breaking my spine.
Well, you know how like, you know, there's a distinctive difference between like dogs and wolves, right? There's like a genetic difference. The only difference really between a house cat and a tiger is the size.
Yeah.
Like they're the same exact animal except for to scale.
Yeah.
So if your cat that's staring at me like it wants to kill me already was the size of a tiger, you would fuck us up.
It's kind of scary to think. Have you seen those photos of they've put like giant boxes in lions and tiger dens, and the lions and tigers just crawl into it like a regular cat?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's
I remember when I first saw, like, Tiger King, they kept calling them, like, big cats. And I was like, oh, tigers and cats are, like, a big cat makes it sound like it's just a larger cat. But then, yeah, it actually is.
It actually is just a much larger cat. Yeah.
I bet if you gave them, like, a couple if you, like, actually, like, because, you know, you can't really have tigers and lions for personal use, but if you let them
unless
get
you're Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin, that damn Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
But if you gave like a geneticist like a couple generations, they could probably breed like a more friendly like petting zoo type tiger with like maybe like less attack pulses and maybe like not as muscular. Within a few generations, like they can do it with foxes easily. Like they bred super friendly dog-like foxes. Mm.
Yeah, but I don't know that we should.
Oh, why not? Let's play God just a little bit. Look, I'm not saying give hormones to fucking children so they can pretend to be whatever gender. I'm just saying let's make a rideable tiger, dude. That's fair. That's fucking fair, dude.
I think we should give steroids to tigers.
Yeah, I make him even stronger.
Yeah, I want to see a fucking jacked-ass tiger.
Well, that's like what a liger is, basically, because it's like you breed a tiger with a lion, and it's like either a tiger or a lion doesn't have like a growth inhibitor, so by mixing the two, it just gets fucking giant.
Some animal I've seen like a gorilla when you shaved gorilla, it's like they're actually jacked, and also hippos are fucking huge.
Yeah,
like not just big, but I mean like muscular.
Well, you seen like hippos eat, like they feed like hippos a watermelon, and they'll just smash the whole thing in their mouth, no problem.
Oh yeah, not without a problem at all. And hippos are. No, I'm sorry. It's rhinos are the nice ones, but hippos are mean.
Hippos are mean.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Who is it? Pablo Escobar used to feed people to his hippos.
Right. Well, like, I think like more people die from like hippo attacks than like even the alligators and shit.
I don't know why when you said Pablo Escobar in my head, I was thinking of the comedian Pablo Francisco.
Yeah, Pablo Francisco feeds people.
He had hippos.
If you fuck up his intro and mess up his credits, he throws you to. He's like, time for me to pay you for your gig, and he throws you to a hippo.
Just mentioning. I was thinking the Joe Exotic, the whole Tiger King thing. It made me realize how much how the power of being funny. Is I think Joe Exotic's awesome and completely sided with him on everything just because he's funny. And he's he is completely objectively wrong about so many things.
And that Carol Baskin's not funny.
And not at all.
Yeah, she sucks.
Everyone is on Joe Exotic's side.
Not me, dude. She hypnotized me with those massive titties of hers, dude. I'll follow her into the dark, dude. Yeah. Oh, you need me to help you get rid of this fucking body, dude? Yeah. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. I'll take care of it. Now, why don't you have a... Now, this is based on the masterpiece movie Snatch, but it seems like if you really wanted to get rid of a body, you would have a pig farm. Mm. Remember that? Where they
or
say
hippo
like,
farm.
Yeah, or a hippo farm.
Yeah, but hippos are too like suspicious. Like, pigs make sense where it's like...
They did that on Deadwood.
Yeah.
Whenever they would kill somebody, they would feed them to the pigs.
Nice. Feed them to... You're going to sleep with the piggies.
Yeah.
I like that.
It would be weird to eat bacon after that, knowing that the nutrients have come from a human.
Why not, dude? Not if you just feed them. If you feed them white guys, I wouldn't have a problem with it. It's like, damn, dude, this is like healthy ass pork.
Only white guys who have said the N-word, though.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Cool white guys.
Cool white guys.
There's only two kinds of white men: the ones who've said the N-word and the ones who want to,
or who lied about.
Or who lied.
I never said that word. Yeah. That's disgusting. Hey, here's my impression of like a white guy that doesn't exist. I never said that word. That's vile.
Or a white guy who really wants to get booked on Brooklyn comedy shows.
I never raped a woman. That's me.
That was Barack Obama.
That's the audition tape. Oh, I never raped a woman.
Barack Obama would be so proud to hear that.
Yeah,
he's like, I like that. Finally, an impression where I'm not killing people in a drone strike. Mm. I like it. And I like that I didn't rape someone.
Yes.
I feel like this episode is going to get you unbooked from the Tiny Cupboard.
Now I got to bleep that out. Thanks a lot. I got to censor that. It's all good, dude. I'm not
working. As a guy who's been unbooked from the Tiny Cupboard.
It happens to the best of us, dude. Yeah. Well, Matt's permabanned, so don't worry, dude.
Why are you permabanned?
I'm not.
He is, dude. Matt, you are.
Anytime I don't get booked somewhere for a little while. The last time I did Tiny Cupboard, not the last, one of the times I did it, Joe was hosting. And said, we're lifting the ban tonight for one night only.
Matt, that was a year and a half ago, the last time.
It wasn't. That's why I said it wasn't the last time.
Dude. That's okay, though.
I got taken off of their
avails.
What'd you
do? Did you defend Israel or Palestine?
No. Yeah. I went to a tour for the troops, the IDF. Nice. No, I said a joke, and then... they didn't like it, and they didn't tell me. I was like, just stopped getting their like avails emails, and then I DM'd them on Instagram. I was like, hey, I think I forgot to fill out a month. I haven't gotten them in a minute. And they're like, no, we unbooked you because you said this one joke, and I took it like kind of personal.
They specifically said there was a personal reason for them not booking you.
We had a back and forth about it, and I mean, we ended it like pretty amicably.
Yeah,
and they're like, well, we'll send it to you again, and they never did, and I never asked. It's like it is what it is. I feel like reaching out to them and be like, hey, you know what? I don't tell that joke anymore because I just used it for a special.
Nice.
So why don't you go ahead and let me come back?
How about you unban me?
How about
you? How about you unban me and my friend Matt Maron?
It's not even a ban. It's just like I just haven't really. It is kind of a lot to go out to Bushwick for.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got a good tape.
Sure. I like everybody over there. I just haven't. Yeah. The business is an audience and comment card driven business. So, if you're likable.
Is it really, though? I mean, I think a lot of those, like, comment card does anyone actually send in the comment card and then really stop going to shows because of it? Or
But people do write on the comment cards. People have written on the comment cards, I like that Ron Jeremy looking guy.
Yeah.
They like, I like Super Mario. They're like, I like the mustache guy. I like the little loud guy. The little guy reminded me of Sam Kinison. I get all that feedback, and you know what? I'll take it, dude.
Because I don't know.
The last one I read was the Ron Jeremy guy said the N-word too much.
Yeah.
Ron Jeremy said the N-word too much. I went in prepared to hate it, but then he convinced me. He sold me on it. It made perfect sense, and it was such a beautiful masterpiece, which is really, let's be honest, that's why we're doing comedy, right? Is to justify saying the N-word to ourselves.
I don't know, I feel
not
like
in
most...
the least bit.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I feel
well,
like
that's the name of my fourth comedy special, right. Justifying the N-word.
I feel
it's
like
me
most...
dressed up as Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Most people who fill out comment cards or do Yelp reviews or any of that stuff, like, it's such a small group of people that are going to, and even the people who write positive things, like, I feel like none of it actually translates to real business.
I started leaving Yelp reviews for the police.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Why?
No, I did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were you like, excellent 5-star work choking out that black guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's yeah, like, yeah, if yeah. your black man isn't killed in 30 minutes or less, we'll kill another one. Free of cost. No need to report the second one. We'll kill him for free.
Yeah, I wrote to the Minnesota police. I had a really great interaction with Derek Chauvin.
Yeah.
Nice. And, or Minneapolis, where the fuck. No,
isn't
no, no.
Isn't that crazy? It was like in like one of those towns. Like, you'd think it was like in like L.A. or Manhattan, the way it was like
right,
promoted.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Or at least like maybe in like some small like backwoods fucking whatever, but just Minneapolis.
I don't know. Yeah, Minneapolis, you just expect like. Like litter bugs or some shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's kind of what George Floyd was really just doing. He was essentially just being like a litter bug. And, you know, they
yeah,
were like,
that's what it was.
Alone. Yeah.
What is dying
you said,
in public?
You said litter with a hard R there. So. Yeah.
What it is, he's like, hey, you litter bug.
Yeah.
And then you fucking die. You kill a guy on the street. It's like, and we gave him a ticket for littering.
Yeah.
For once, being dead on the street.
So one what,
time
Yelp?
I got a ticket for not wearing my seatbelt in the passenger seat.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right.
Did you leave a nasty Yelp review?
Well, here's why I did.
Did you explain you were trying to give the driver a hand job?
Yeah. I was trying to get a hand job.
Yeah.
From the driver.
But the Uber guy wouldn't do it. So I was like, you know what?
3-star rating.
Yeah. So on the same street, there was a cop who had parked in front of a hydrant in the middle of the road in front of a CVS. Like they were like running an errand. So I took a picture and they left their little like I'm a cop thing in the front. So I took a picture of their identification, and I reported it to the police. And I was like, hey, you know, this guy did this shit. I'm going to ticket. Why isn't this guy getting in trouble or whatever? And they're like, well, we'll handle it internally. And I was like, no, no, no. You need to tell me what happened. My shit's a public record. I'm a public record. This cop needs to be a public record. And they're like, no, we're going to handle it. We don't owe you anything. So after Yelp review, I was like, these motherfuckers. And I just went into detail about it. And they had to take the review down.
What?
Yeah, because
you got to repost it. Tag them on Twitter.
It was too profane. It was too profane. Which is probably accurate.
What was the police report or the department that did it?
It was years ago. It was in Brooklyn. It was probably
Brooklyn PD. You got a lot of explaining to do.
You do.
And if you have a problem with that, you fucking get on this podcast. You confront us. And if you really, really have a problem with it, open fire on Matt Maron. He's physically strong enough that your bullets will have no effect on his muscular physique.
He'll be at the tiny cupboard all weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually just left my second ever review of the place.
Of a
Google
police
review.
Department?
No, no,
oh,
no, no.
Google review.
I left a
forever.
Google review.
Okay, what was that one for?
Of Liberty Buds on First Avenue. On First Avenue, over right across the street from Rodney's.
Oh, what's Liberty Buds?
That's a dispensary?
It's a dispensary.
Oh, okay.
And
you
it was a ripoff.
Yeah?
It was a huge ripoff, and
that
I was
sucks.
So mad. I was so mad about it that I've left the first. I became a Karen about weed.
Yeah,
you know, and I was
what
like,
"What did
you
they
guys,
do to rip you off?"
Oh my god, they have the system there where I bought this shitty vape from some dispensary or whatever over next to Old Man Hustle.
Yeah.
Over there on fucking Bedford. And the next day it immediately clogged. Like there's just, it just isn't working or whatever. And I was over at Rodney's, I was hosting the show, and it clogged up on me, and I was like, God damn it. So I went over to this place, and I was like, hey, I just need something real quick, just make sure it's quality or whatever. Some guy talks to me, keeps talking, like trying to upsell me on whatever. I was like, just give me that one, man. I just like gotta go or whatever. It was $73, right? Yikes. Which was like twice of what it normally is.
That's more than any. And the average vape should be about $40 tops.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was like, I don't care. This guy said it's really quality. The packaging is nice. Whatever. You go to check out, and if you're not paying with cash, they don't. They do a debit system on your debit card.
Yeah.
And so they debit you. They charge you a fee for that. Then they round up. And they charge you, and they have to give you, like, the difference. They say, I'm like, what's this, like, $2.80 of, like, a return fee or whatever? Like, oh, we have to round it up, and you get that change back or whatever. So it was initially $83.
Right.
And then the girl rings it up, and then she hands me just, like, a couple of coins or whatever. I was like, where's the other money that came with this? Yeah. And she was like, oh, I don't know. Here's the breakdown on the receipt. It was a completely different receipt than when I signed for. And then when I log into my bank account, it was actually even more money. They charged me another fee, and then the bank charged me a fee for accessing it like an ATM. So I'm paying $88.
Nice for a little vape.
For a fucking $40 vape. And this guy was like, it's the greatest weed or whatever. It's nice. Just weed.
Yeah.
It's just whatever.
Almost all weed is weed when it really comes out.
Yeah, no, it's so true, unless it comes from Kentucky. Like, that's actually good weed.
Yeah, why Kentucky? Grass.
The bluegrass.
Ah.
The bluegrass, like,
that's what it was called.
Natural green weed from Kentucky is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But this shit we got around New York is just whatever.
It's all the same. Well, most of the best is, like, imported from California. And then it has, like, all these surcharges on it.
Mm. Right. I think that's what I got.
I did
so
just.
You left him, like, a fucking one-star review.
Left him a one-star review and updated and edited one. I swore in that one hasn't been taken down
yet. Like, I want to fucking find that little girl that upcharged me and fucking spit in her face. Really be like, how does this fucking saliva taste? It should be fucking laced with THC, but it's not because the vape pen you sold me was fucking garbage, little girl. Now let's see how many of my fingers I can fit in your mouth as punishment. One finger. Two fingers.
Still up on Yelp.
Three. Still up. It's crazy, dude.
You never left a review for anything?
Never in my life,
dude. I don't
dude.
Think so.
No, I leave good reviews where I'm like, I like this food. Or like,
I've left good reviews.
I'm at a museum. I'm like, I like this museum. I don't know. I feel weird leaving like a bad review. But like, I'll leave a bad review on Amazon.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, this fucking thing sucks. Like, this thing ripped me off. Fuck you. I hate this. And I'm like, well, maybe I fucked up. But still.
Yeah.
You know.
That's when you have to send the magic wand back.
Yeah.
Didn't make me come, dude.
Yeah.
I held it on my clit forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just nothing happened.
I just stuck it as deep in my asshole as it could go. And yet nothing. Nothing at all.
I don't think I've ever even really left like negative comments, even like social media. I don't understand.
Yeah,
YouTube or like Facebook. I remember a couple times back in the day, I got in like our arguments on Facebook very rarely, but I still every time regret. I never came out of an online argument feeling good.
Oh yeah, no, I've been the same place.
Yeah.
I got into a beef or whatever in the winter with some guy. I made a parody video to promote my album recording.
Yeah.
And I did it because I was getting called Jelly Roll.
Oh, I remember the video.
Nice. Yeah. Just like that fucking drug dealer turned rapper,
the country rapper. Yeah. And every time I would post a YouTube short, somebody would always comment, oh, it's Jelly Roll.
That's funny.
Or it's Jelly Roll's brother.
Nice.
Sure, it's funny.
This video
it is very
get some
well as somebody that gets called
Ron Jeremy. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, that is still very funny. And it is funny, I guess. It's okay. What can you do?
Yeah.
And you know what people are gonna say? Oh, look, Jelly Roll is hanging out with Ron Jeremy and some fucking retard, you know?
Yeah. Well, now I've learned to not engage at all. But I posted it in my Facebook, and some guy commented on there. He must have been, like, searching for Jelly Roll content.
Yeah. And the algorithm.
Yeah, and he commented underneath there, and he goes, this sucks. It's not too late to delete it or whatever.
Oh, that sucks.
And I looked at his Facebook page, and I was like, and I just wrote him. I was like, you're a poor piece of shit from the middle of fucking Tennessee. Like, who the fuck are you to comment on my shit or whatever, you fucking nobody. And well, apparently he's a member of like he's into like the where you ruin a car by lowering it as much as possible and making the wheels stick sideways. See those car clubs that exist for like guys who can't afford a Porsche.
Like a little Fast and Furious type shit, right?
Yeah, these Fast and Furious wannabes. So they all started like out of the works or whatever, you know? And I was like, and he started sending DMs to people in my contact list and stuff like that. Yeah. Of like, because I said some shit to him. I was like, bro, you wouldn't say none of this shit if you saw me in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I would fuck you up. And I got to learn like, oh, yeah. Of course he's saying this because he can't. I'm not going to be able to like.
Yeah.
I'll never see this guy.
One of the best interactions on Twitter ever, where there was like Paul Felder is a former MMA fighter who's then an announcer. And someone comments about how terrible his announcing is. And he goes, you wouldn't say that to my face, would you? And the guy goes, no, you'd kick my ass. That's why I said it on Twitter. And he goes, fair enough.
Well, see, at least the guy would admit to it. You know what I mean? Like one guy, he wrote me, he's like, I'll kick your ass or whatever. And I looked him up on Facebook, and he's like, I don't know, 5'3", 250.
Joe Gorman dimensions.
Nice, dude. No, Joe's not 250. Yeah,
almost, dude. I'm working on it.
You're also not
5'3". I'm 5'4".
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Sorry for defending you against Matt's accusations.
It's okay.
No, but he was like a little fat turd, you know. And it was like, and he was like, I'll kick your ass. And I was like, buddy, come on, man. Yeah. Not even on your best fucking day.
Yeah.
You ever see that video? That guy, some guy commented on his Twitter. He was like a UFC guy, like, I'll kick your ass or you're a bitch or whatever. So he showed up at his job. He showed up at the guy's job.
Yeah.
He's like, had it printed out. Like, you said you kicked my ass. Here I am.
Yeah.
You know, the guy immediately cowered down. Yeah.
You have a gun, dude. I wouldn't. I live in a stand my ground. New York is a stand your ground state. How cool is that?
The best
when
version.
Did that happen?
It happened overnight, dude.
Overnight.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
well, breaking news.
Now my guns are legal.
It literally happened like during the Black Lives Matter protest. That's when they signed into law.
Yeah.
Stand your ground if you are basically like half white or better.
Stand or your better.
Ground is better.
Or is applicable.
Or better.
It's crazy, dude. It's a wicked, twisted world we live in. Mm. Well, I'm just trying to do it to help people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm standing my ground to help people.
The best version of that, you have Brian Scalabrine, the NBA player.
Oh, yeah.
They called him White Mamba. Yeah. He was like the last guy off the bench for the Boston Celtics.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So people online were saying, like, I could beat Brian Scalabrine, and, like, you suck, I could beat you. And I remember his line, he said, I'm closer to LeBron than you are to me.
Yep, and, it's so
and then he played, and then he played one-on-one against three fans who thought they could beat him and just destroyed all of them.
Oh,
what
yeah,
if he went
yeah.
up against the college student and the college student beat
no,
him?
No, there were college guys. He beats them, too.
I bet I could beat this guy easy.
Yeah.
I know it, dude. This guy's a fucking chump. Meet me in the fucking court. No cameras, dude. Yeah. I got a knife, dude. He's like, Where is he? I fucking come up behind him. Would that be fucking, would I get in trouble for that, do you think?
Just a little bit.
You think I get in trouble for murdering a guy?
Yeah, probably.
I hope not, dude.
Unless he's a white guy who said the N-word.
Did he say the N? I'm going to be like, I found his journal. He said the N-word. And I didn't mean to look at it. It fell out of his pocket and it opened and I glanced down because I thought it was my comedy notebook because I'm a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
But then I saw the N-word and I knew I would never write something like that.
Never get
so
in
I
trouble.
Said, wait a minute, this isn't mine and I must have been his.
You are journal. Right with the culturally thing because remember there was the thing like punching the Nazi. Is it okay to punch a Nazi
it's
or not?
It's never okay to punch a cool guy. When is that? Remember that? Dude, what if a fucking Nazi grabbed your fist? That would be fucking scary.
That'd be
you try to
crazy.
Punch a Nazi and then you got like a fucking angry Nazi.
Boom.
Fucking, and then I say like some fucking German shit. I've been diving. It's an uber Nazi, dude.
Punching a Nazi is one thing. Like a self-proclaimed Nazi, I mean, sure, have at it. Should you get in trouble?
I bet a lot
of people would turn a blind eye.
I punch.
That's kind. Yeah, there was. It was. I think during Trump's inauguration, Richard Spencer, who's like the leading white nationalist, got punched.
Yeah.
When
oh yeah.
I was opening fire on them because I said no true Nazi would be able to fucking fall by American bullets. And that's how I was able. That's how I was able to find out the true Nazis, and only five people survived. And I was like, all right, of you three, we will begin a new Reich.
Every once in a while,
is that, dude, that's a fucking, come on, that's a great premise for a movie right there.
I think so.
Fucking rebuilding the third, oh man, like a fucking real Nazis. I'm going to call it
real
Angels.
Real ass Nazi.
I'm going to call it, Angels in America.
That sounds like an A24 film.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I used to be, you know, one of the type of guys who used to think that, I could beat a WNBA player.
Yeah.
Like in a game of basketball or whatever. And then when I was in like my early 20s, I played a woman who was like, you know, like a state champion of her team or whatever. And she smoked all of us.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge these WNBA players. And they're like, all right, what's the game? And I'm like, it's a who can come first match. These fucking tall ass.
Every time.
Tall Caitlin Clark, right?
Yeah.
Now she's a little fucking cutie. Have you ever kissed her?
I have not kissed Caitlin Clark, no.
Not yet, huh?
Not yet.
Well,
maybe
this podcast, as soon as we're launched into the stratosphere with
Caitlin Clark, we want her to come on the podcast.
Only when she's been asleep.
Right.
That's the only time.
How funny would it be if she got arrested in Russia, too?
Yeah, all the WNBA, the only athletes.
Yeah, every good
Russia women's basketball player once a year.
Yeah, every good WNBA player gets like fucking abducted and has to stay in Russian labor camp.
It'd be hilarious if she got arrested over there. And then we finally caught like Vladimir Putin.
Yeah,
and then we traded.
Yeah, yeah, we trade Caitlin
Clark. Oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and give you Vladimir Putin. And
honestly, last year we tried to get Putin for Brittany Griner. They were like, no, not enough. This year, like, well, what about Caitlin Clark? Huh? That's a bigger star.
We'll trade you.
Remember when Brittany Griner was in that prison and they had her smashing up those giant rocks with a sledgehammer?
She was making license plates, right?
I don't know. I thought, isn't that cool? Just like stereotypical fucking prison labor things.
Yeah.
Fucking peeling potatoes with a hairnet on.
She had an egg eating contest with the rest of the crew.
I wouldn't mind spending some time in a women's prison.
You wouldn't?
Not me, dude.
Yeah.
I think how cool is that? Like some mix up, some paperwork mix up. I wind up in a woman's fucking prison.
That's the premise
so
to the movie,
horny, dude. They'd be so horny.
They would all just want to fuck
mustache.
You.
Yeah. No, I keep the mustache too.
It's like, well, that's where the mix-up comes
in. Oh, come on, ladies. Come here, you. Watch out.
Yeah,
I got a little fucking shiv of my own.
Yeah.
How long have you been with your girlfriend?
3 glorious years.
No kidding.
Isn't it incredible?
You guys are so, like, kind of night and day.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Yeah.
My sweet Kumar and this vile man.
I mean, I get it. That's how the relationship is with my wife. So, I mean, today she hates me.
Well, you know how it is, dude. Happy wife, happy life.
What'd you do?
I disagreed with her about something that I shouldn't have. And she was right about something, but I still also just like out of principle just didn't
admit that she's right.
No, I can admit that she's right. I even texted her that she was right after we got into an argument. I just don't like the way that these arguments ever unfold.
Mm.
Like in terms of not even between us, but just like culturally, we were talking about like a big topic issue, and it's like the two
Israel
of us,
Palestine.
Not even, no.
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about climate change. And,
oh, my God. That's a hilarious thing to get into an argument
about. And it's not that I don't agree with the notion that there is climate change or whatever, but I'm very skeptical about certain aspects of it and how it's, like, used.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to affect us in our lifetime.
Or at least that with anything that is a major issue, the fact that people will take advantage of it to get, like, this is the good, right thing you need to do, but really they're just trying to get something for themselves.
Right, yeah.
Everyone tries to take advantage of whatever the real thing is, and then it becomes, if you're not doing this, you're part of the problem. It's like, I agree there's a problem. I just don't know if this is necessarily the exact thing we all need to be doing or caring about.
Right, right. There's the notion of there's rules for thee, not rules for me.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that.
And
I'd like that to apply to thee and not me.
Exactly.
As long as Taylor Swift still gets to fly private, I don't have any issues.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is it? Like, what is the old do as I say, or do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
My doctor told me that.
Well, that is kind of it. It's like, you know, there's, you know, like we saw during COVID, you know, everybody has to social distance and everybody has to mask up unless you go to Obama's birthday party.
Or Gavin Newsom's party.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to a fucking Black Lives Matter rally.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, yeah, somehow COVID didn't spread these Black Lives Matter rallies. But a fucking Trump rally.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a fucking COVID hotbed. Get out of town, dude. And that's why Donald Trump is going to win the election in 2024. This is the Buff Boys podcast. We are a pro fucking Donald Trump. We are a pro Proud Boys. We are a pro alt-right. We are a pro American Nazi Party podcast, dude.
Rest
and Israel-Palestine, we want both sides to wipe each other out so a new white supremacist nation can
form. I want both sides.
I actually don't think any of that.
Oh, really?
On the record, yeah.
I'm sorry, dude. I must have misread the survey we had you fill out before the fucking pod. Oh, God, I'm embarrassed now,
yeah,
dude.
You messed this up.
You must have dyslexia because I answered the opposite of that.
We fucked up the survey. We messed up your fucking podcast.
Derek wants Israel and Palestine to both have a nice time out there.
I just want everybody to get along. I just want everybody to set aside their differences and go to a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah.
Perhaps there is no right side or wrong side to this. Perhaps it just is the inevitability of the existence of humanity, that there must always be differences that divide us, and that a utopia will perhaps in many ways never be achievable. Mm. What then?
Perhaps. Well, that's why I was like, I was a big fan of the Unabomber.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
When he was popping off. Because, he identified, I feel like, the problem. That's actually kind of the thing is, like, of course I believe in, climate change. That's why I read into the Unabomber.
Yeah.
Because that was his thing.
Everybody thought,
why else was he sending bombs on planes? He had a message behind what it is he was doing.
He was pretty chill.
Now, when you learn that he was a virgin, that puts everything into a different context because it's like, oh man, if this guy got laid, he probably would have just wrote papers instead of.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, like, man, I'm really bombs. Behind what this guy had a really good point. I kind of see what he's saying. It's like, oh, he never got laid. You know what? I actually don't identify with this fucking loser.
I don't know if I'm down with this guy.
All because some dumb broad wouldn't suck his little pipe, dude.
Yeah.
All these people had to die because women had to have standards, dude. When will women fucking learn, dude? You know, they always say, they always are like, oh, men are the fucking cause of all this fucking bad shit in the world. But a lot of it is also, a lot of the bad shit that men do is the direct result of women not having sex with them. So maybe if these women would let us have sex with them, we wouldn't have to do all these awful things. Ever think of that?
Yeah, that's so true.
Maybe you should be nicer to us women. Damn, what an incel-y podcast this one is, dude.
Incel started out as a term of inclusion.
It was, dude.
Oh, it was involuntarily
celibate instead of calling you a loser virgin.
It was the LGBTQI was for incel originally. and then they did one too many marches and they're like, intersex actually.
Yeah.
And so like can you believe it, dude? We lost our fucking stand in some goofy little fucking thing.
All the incels are going to the rallies just raping women. Like, no,
intersex has been around for like 3 months and they get included in the fucking acronym.
Yeah.
Incel's been around for decades and excluded yet again.
Mm.
Whatever, it's all good, dude.
Yeah. Speaking of incels, you're a gun guy?
Uh-oh.
what do you mean by that?
Do you have a gun?
Not on me.
Not
Bobby
on
Sheehan
you,
is whatever. Trying to get a gun.
No, Bobby Sheehan shouldn't have a gun.
Why not?
You
see the rage in his eyes?
Just, I've heard his jokes. I was playing. I am a gun guy in the sense that I think that everybody has the right to bear arms.
Ooh, yeah. Matt bears his arms every podcast.
Bears his arms. In Jersey, you can get them pretty easy.
Guns, yeah.
Yeah, I got a gun in Jersey.
Is it in Jersey still?
Nope.
Okay.
it's hidden somewhere in Goomba Studio.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Ohio.
Ohio.
I was born in Michigan, raised in Ohio.
And then you lived in North Carolina for a while.
I lived in South
Carolina. South Carolina.
I lived in Virginia and South Carolina and then now here.
Gotcha. So were you did you have guns when you were in Virginia?
Yeah. Where I lived in Virginia was I had a couple roommates. We had a gun.
Yeah.
Because where we lived in Virginia was really, really sketch. Hampton Roads area. But
a lot of black people.
A lot of poor people in general. A lot of crime. You
poor
know,
black people. that's probably one of the scariest combinations you can get.
No, there's a lot of crime amongst a lot of poor people, no matter what the demographic was racially.
Puerto Ricans too.
Germans, in Virginia,
Germans, yikes. The Polish,
poor Germans, yikes!
Yeah,
hand over the clogs and no one gets hurt.
But there's not so much of a reason to have one here.
Yeah,
necessarily, you know.
I don't know, man. Yeah, what about all those? What about that black guy that was going around fucking punching all those girls, and then he fucking punched
Steve
Buscemi. A firefighter.
That was the
dude.
Same guy?
It was the same guy.
That was the same guy.
It was the same dude.
Did he think Steve Buscemi was a girl?
I don't know. He probably
was just like, I love punching women, but this guy's famous. It's too good. I gotta.
Well, so the same guy that's punching all these college girls also punched a 9/11 first responder, dude.
Mm. Yeah, that's fucked up.
That's fucking crazy.
You can
dude.
Hit a woman as much as you want, but like to hit Steve Buscemi?
Yeah.
Look, not cool.
We've all hit a woman. Like, let's, fellas, let's be real.
Life.
We've all fucking brutally punched
sometimes,
a woman.
Sometimes she gets yappy about climate change.
We've all severely beaten a woman in public. Like this black guy that's been going around.
Yeah.
But we'd never attack a 9/11 first responder.
Never.
Those are the heroes, dude.
Yeah.
You know, my uncle was one of the firefighters that were hanging up the flag in that portrait.
In that picture?
That picture of those three
it's
guys.
It's your uncle's in there. No shit.
Yeah, Lieutenant John Gorman.
Wow. Is he still with us today?
No, he died of asbestos.
Asbestos. Yeah. Damn. That's
did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No.
His family.
I knew it.
Oh, God damn it.
The second cool. I start to believe him, even he didn't want to take the stolen valor. Yeah. He'll lie about anything.
Yeah. No, dude. No, my uncle was on the plane, dude. He said, la 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 la. 12th floor, women's lingerie and praise be to Allah. La, 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 la. That was fucking tight, dude. He always had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because he knew all those fucking virgins were coming his way.
It was Uncle Amir Gordon.
That's right.
Yeah.
No,
Amir,
still,
Al
Amir
Gorman.
Amir Al Gorman.
Amir Al Gorman.
Oh, man.
The whitest Middle Eastern dude.
That would be kind of funny, though, if like there was like like a news article that came out now that was like, oh, all these check out all these Muslim guys learning to fly, you know?
And it's like, oh, yeah, the TWA just expanded it with an all new diverse. That, you know what? That was probably like the best time to fly was like that post 9/11 stretch where, like, you know, they were only having white pilots during that time. They were only having white pilots like post 9/11. Come on.
Being a white guy trying to be a pilot in like 2002 was like being a gay, black, trans person trying to get into comedy now.
I've never had
super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had a female pilot. Mm. Have you?
I've never noticed one.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I don't know that I've never had one, but I've never noticed it.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think there's plenty of times I haven't known whether the pilot was male or female.
Yeah, I mean, I just do a cup check on everybody.
Yeah.
I do a quick little inspection in the cockpit. Yeah. I do a little, like, fucking glance.
If it's a female pilot, sure. Do they call it a pussy pit? Mm. That's the question.
I wouldn't get on a plane if it was a fucking female pilot, I'll tell you that much. It doesn't seem safe.
Yeah,
it
they're
doesn't.
Probably going to be doing their makeup and whatever.
Yeah, dude, yeah. They're fucking applying their lipstick. They drop it. They go to pick it up. All of a sudden, we're doing a nosedive.
Mm.
Damn, dude. Maybe if there was like a male co-pilot who was actually like the regular pilot. And was just humoring her, dude.
Right.
Well, you know what would have fixed 9/11? Mark Wahlberg.
That's true.
For sure. Yeah, that's
he would have been.
I believe that.
He was like, he's on his way to fucking stop the fucking terrorists, and he sees this fucking Asian guy. Sitting in just like business guys like, what the fuck is this guy doing here? And he starts fucking blinding the Asian guy because like that's his instinct to do that.
Yeah.
That was like the funniest thing Mark Wahlberg ever did.
What was also very funny was like in 2016, he tried to like get it expunged from his criminal record.
Right.
And enough people had forgotten about it or never heard about it that then it just, he trended for like 3 days on Twitter of everyone being like, no, he did this thing. And a lot of people have been like, I never knew this about him. I'm like, dude, he should have never said anything.
Yeah. I didn't know that about him either until that came out that he was trying to get it removed.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, how much must it suck to be that guy, that Asian guy, open up Netflix, and then, like, you know, all the movies are like, Ted.
Well, he can't see him, at least.
Well, he still see out one eye. You know, it's like Ted, and then, like, what was it, The Wounded Warrior.
Pain and Gain.
Yeah, Pain and Gain. The Departed, and you're like, I can't escape this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
And now he's like this lovable guy, like, I pray to God. You know,
yeah, I downloaded
first
the
thing
app.
I do, wake up at 3:15 a.m. pray, eat breakfast, pray again.
Isn't that wild? Like, it's like the first thing they do is like, I wake up and I meditate. It's like, what, you just got done sleeping? What is sleeping but meditation?
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh, I got to go clear my mind. It's like, yo, you just had your mind cleared for like 5-6 hours.
Yeah, easily. Know? Yeah. If I first thing when I wake up, I check my phone to see who hates me.
First thing I do, I wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. Fucking beating up a little fucking girl in a lobby.
Yeah. I didn't see the P. Diddy. I saw the Kevin Spacey doc that's out.
How crazy is that? Kevin
Spacey's
like two dad episodes. Was a Nazi.
Yeah, his dad's a Nazi. His dad was like
an SS officer.
No, like a Nazi. Like had all this Nazi memorabilia and would talk about how the Holocaust didn't happen or wasn't that big of a deal around the home.
He said it was cool.
So Kevin Spacey's brother is there, and he's like the fucking like clown, basically. He wears all these crazy colorful suits and spiked hair,
he's
and apparently
gay. He's gay, dude.
His whole thing was he had to put on some sort of face or cover to escape from his childhood, and like Kevin Spacey did also.
Yeah, he found an escape in a boy's asshole.
Yeah, yeah, sounds like it.
And I honestly, would never imagine that, dude. Imagine being like, your father's so evil, you yourself have to become the ultimate evil, a gay man.
Yeah. Well, he also, Spacey was like, because you had people saying he was doing shit back to when he was like in acting school. But you had a lot of the people who were like, I felt like I didn't really want to say anything because they didn't want to out him. Like, he was able to get away with the shit he was doing for so long because so many people were like, well, if I tell people I got raped by Kevin Spacey, I am outing a gay man.
Who cares, dude? I would never care. It's like, he's gay. He's going to hell anyway, dude. What's another fucking problem, dude? You're going to rape me and send my fucking immortal soul to hell?
I don't care what your sexual proclivities are.
I do.
If you're a bad person.
Yeah.
You're gay. You know? Open and shut. Hey, open and cut. For the Bible tells me so.
Yes.
I believe it was John 7:22 that said, don't put that gay shit near me, son.
If I recall Catholic school correctly,
yes,
you're right. Yeah. You're 100% right.
Yeah, I hit the nail on the head there. I sat in on a couple of church sessions. I've done it before.
Yeah,
so very boring.
You guys are the Buff Boys. Why'd you pick that name?
It was a joke. It was a joke, and then like
mainly Joe's body.
Yeah, it's like it was like oh, we'll call it the Buff Boys. It's like a funny thing, and then it was like, oh well. And then, like, somehow, like, sports and fitness have been incorporated into it.
How many push-ups are you up to a day? How many?
I do 100 every morning.
You do 100
every morning?
No, he
doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't.
How many reps per set?
Four sets, 25.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. No. I mean, honestly. I've been doing that for a few years now. That's just, like, in the morning, just, like, instead of my meditation or praying that Mark Wahlberg does.
Yeah,
I do 100 push-ups and a minute plank, and that just kind of gets me feeling normal for the day.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
That's a healthy thing.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah. I was benching. I've been benching or just, like, doing, like, dumbbell presses.
Yeah.
And doing, like, you know, 75 at an incline or whatever. And then, like, I went to go do push-ups.
Yeah.
And then after 10, I was like, God damn, this is tough.
Honestly, anything that you do, you can get really good at doing. with fitness in general. Like, you can have, like, all this crazy, like, back strength and everything. Go and try and do one pull-up, and you won't be able to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But vice versa, you could be doing a bunch of pull-ups, and then you're not necessarily going to be, like, able to lift weights like a bodybuilder.
Right.
But there is... I saw a video of a guy who's, like, a rock climber, and he was able to do the same weight as some of these, like, bodybuilders.
I was going
to
ask you, he was doing the lat pull?
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, nobody questions that. Yeah.
Are you doing bench press now or in general?
Just in general. Like, I mean, I don't do it for, I have kettlebells at home.
Yeah.
Ooh. And so I don't do it necessarily for, like, strength or growth or anything. It's more for, like, just to get the body moving weights. You know?
You got to do that as you get older, too.
But yeah. But the real strength does come from calisthenics. Like,
yeah.
And I have, like, there's like a pull-up bar, but it's on the ground. So it's like a, you know, it's kind of this wrought iron thing.
Yeah.
And you could do pull-ups like in a plank position or whatever.
Yeah.
Calisthenics are important because that's like what you need to do to like make sure your body is like able to move through life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's also different people's body weights. Like there's people who they weigh 130 pounds and they're not very strong, but they can do more pull-ups than someone who's 220 pounds and in better shape.
Right, yeah.
Because it's just, you know, if that big guy weighed 130 pounds, they have the strength to be able to move 130 pounds.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the thing, too, is, like, I probably, you know, I can't do as many pull-ups or push-ups as somebody, who's, like, half my size, but they probably couldn't...
Move as much weight as
they couldn't pick up the back end of a car or something.
Can you pick up the back end of a car?
I did once.
Nice. Was your son's truck underneath it?
Nope. It was for a bet.
Was the only time I lifted a car.
Because my son was stuck underneath.
Well, my wife was driving our kid home, and she was drunk, of course. And
as
the car flipped
usual.
Over. She died on impact, but my son was in the back seat. And I was like, I got to fucking get him out of there. And I knew the only way to do that was to, like, lift the car.
To lift the car up to get over out of the back
and
seat.
And I said I needed to do, like, one just clean jerk. Like, that was the only way.
Well,
and
that
I said,
is...
God, if you're really God, you'll give me the strength. And then, like, a bolt of lightning struck me. And my muscles became rippling, like a young Matt Maron. And I lifted the car.
Or a middle-aged John Rocker.
Yes. Dude, I was going to say John Rocker was on Survivor. Also, like, because I have a friend who's not a big sports fan, but watches all these reality shows. So asked me about John Rocker because they saw him on Survivor.
Yeah.
And he made, like, the first couple episodes, people don't say who they are necessarily on these shows. So I think he had mentioned he was a former athlete. And then somebody else recognizes him and is like, do you know what that guy's John Rocker? He said some horrible racist things about the 7 train, which I've ridden the 7 train. He's not entirely wrong.
Anyone who's ridden the 7 train understands John Rocker.
Yeah. but then he was like actually really nice and he's like big. So he was able to physically do a lot of the challenges and help and all.
Yeah.
And then the first time there's some sort of conflict, he gets in an argument, like some woman's yelling at him about something. And he goes, if you were a guy, I'd punch your fucking teeth out.
Nice, dude.
And then everyone all of a sudden is like, oh, this guy's actually a little bit crazy. And he gets voted out the next week.
But what did she do?
They were just arguing over like some task they had to do.
Have you ever punched a man's teeth out?
I think I've punched a guy and I think there were issues with his dental thing. Did punch and feel like a tooth move.
Have you ever done that to a woman?
No.
Are you sure?
No. But I never argue with women about climate change, so it's never come to that.
Was that what they were arguing about on Survivor?
Yeah, I think so.
That's funny.
They were really arguing about, well.
No. No, but I think it seemed like the first couple episodes seemed like this is going to be the John Rocker redemption story. He's actually a nice guy. Mm. Maybe that was how he felt in the past. Maybe it was out of context, whatever.
They probably edited it to make him look
like a fucking monster. Like him. And then he just like fucking threatens this woman. And then everyone's like, oh, nope, actually, he's still got issues.
I'm going to get you. Woman,
yeah,
watch out! I'm John Rocker.
What did the woman do wrong?
Yeah, but yeah, at the end of each episode, it was interesting. We already kind of touched on this. We look up some feat of strength that was accomplished throughout the world, and I was looking up. I found several stories about the like lifting the car with a child underneath. The term for it is hysterical strength.
Yeah, nice. The adrenaline kicks in.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hysterical strength. Only women do it.
Yeah, right.
If that were the case, then they wouldn't be getting raped so often, yes. Right? Hey, come on. Hey, sweetheart, why don't you show me that hysterical strength, y'all? Oh, so you can get a fucking car off a baby, but you can't stop big bad me? Is that what you're saying? Huh?
Finny, we're just joking. I would never do that.
But yeah, there's all these kinds of stories of like normal sized people lifting a 4-wheel drive because there was a child trapped under the car.
But it always has to be somebody that has like either a blood relation or a personal connection to the child. I can't imagine somebody doing it just randomly for like a fucking.
I think there are
baby.
Some cases where it is just somebody sees someone in danger.
Impossible. Impossible. Yeah. Nobody's that pure of heart. Impossible.
Yeah, I would find it. If it wasn't anybody I knew, I'd be like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, like tough yeah. shit, baby.
Like, I need
hope
some,
you get reincarnated.
I
something
need some help go, over yeah. here.
Yeah. Or not you my go kid. To you go to lift it when it's your kid and you're able to lift it, and then it's not your kid, and even though you want to help, something in your mind is like, nope, you can't fit. I'm trying as hard as I can, but nope, I was only able to when I actually cared about the person stuck underneath this.
Yeah, this kid sucks.
Thing is, when I was looking it up before we came here to like try and find the story, every single story is like written in the most dramatic way possible, where it takes forever to actually get to the story. It's like Angela Cavallo was in her late 50s in 1982, living in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Her son, they do the entire like,
oh my
senator,
god,
like, just tell me what happened. Tell me who got stuck and what you did to him.
Yeah,
but yeah, 1964 Chevy Impala. This mother ran out and was able to lift the car when her teenage son was under it.
A teenager? Come on. Well,
he probably
go.
Pushed. He helped.
Yeah, he helped out.
Yeah,
a
get
bit.
Out of here, dude. A teenager?
What yeah. a lazy
it's
kid.
A lost cause. Dude, you know how many teenagers die? And parents are just okay with it, dude. This woman's got to let go.
Yeah.
You've already had a full life.
She's had like a long enough connection, dude. I mean, they're pretty much an adult. And like, who fucking talks like their fucking parent after their teenagers anyway, dude? I've said three words to my parents after fucking
moving out.
Teenaging. After yeah. teenaging.
Yeah. One of them was, see ya.
Mm. One of them was like a 16-year-old football player lifts the car to help his mom. I'm like, yeah, but he plays football.
Yeah, he plays football.
I want to see these
dude.
Stories of like somebody who's just a normal-sized person able
yeah,
to
yeah, that
like,
was also
the
thing.
Adrenaline.
I was like 19, and I was also like, you know, squatting. And
yeah,
well, you were a big weightlifter?
Yeah, I was. No, I never did. No, steroids are terrible. I never do steroids. I knew guys who did steroids.
Matt
and
did
they
steroids.
Were like,
no, I wanted to. My coach wouldn't let me because I knew guys doing it, but I started wrestling right after Chris Benoit died. So all the guys were like, we've been doing it, but you're the new guy. We're not like, don't go down the road.
Right,
we've gone down type thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to so bad. I was like 17. I did amateur wrestling, so I was so skinny in a low weight class. And
there's a proper way to do steroids, but the way that most people do it is not.
Yes. Well, also, in hindsight, I knew as soon as I was telling everybody, my coach, I'm like, I'll do it the right way. I won't get. But as soon as you start taking it and it starts working, of course you're going to want to do more.
Well, you should. Right. The trick is you're not supposed to like make an announcement that you're going to be like safe when doing steroids. You just do steroids.
But
you
I needed. Like, I didn't know how
I'm
to get
be
it.
Be very
yeah.
careful juggling guns and razor blades. It's like, no, don't fucking do that. You just like. You do it in secret, and then you're like, look at this skill. I've fucking learned how to juggle guns and razor blades. Be like, wow, you learned how to do that? That's crazy, you know?
Well, yeah. I didn't know.
You got, it's better to ask forgiveness.
I didn't know how to get steroids on my own, but I knew guys doing it. So I was like, I'm like, you guys get it for me.
You just go to the gym, dude. There's always somebody that's willing to fucking do it. They just
well, all the guys who I was around that were doing it were like, no, we don't want
to. Did
you
offer
to
pay,
down.
Matt, or were you just hoping they were
no,
just
No, I offered to pay.
No, you didn't. Did you offer to pay for their steroids too?
No.
That's what you gotta do.
Well, that's where you fucked up.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Matt, God, you don't know. You didn't.
I remember doing research and like I went to my coach and told him I wanted to start with the cycle of D-ball, and he's like, he looks at me so confused. I'm like, Dianabol, and he's like, I know what it fucking is, but why are you?
No.
I said the slang thinking that he would.
Subconsciously didn't want to do it. So
no, I said the slang thinking that would make him think I knew what I was talking about.
It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna lose my virginity. Dad, will you take me to the brothel so I can lose my virginity to a prostitute? No. Sorry, guys. I can't lose my virginity to a prostitute. My dad won't let me.
Nope, I did anyway.
That's why he just never talked to your dad again.
Yeah. But no, yeah, what dude. Got you into weightlifting when you were young?
Sports.
You
and
were
then
a football player?
I was a football player and then like not wanting to be fat, but it caught up with me anyways.
Yeah, it caught up with everyone, dude. Like everyone goes through like that stage where they're like, I'm going to take control of my body. But then like you go through that phase, like, oh, I can't do this forever.
Like, you can eat in moderation. You can exercise routinely. I think that's really like
that's all you can do. But like you can't like I think like the idea of like walking around with like 5% body fat forever.
Oh, impossible.
That's not like, even necessarily good.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, but that's still like an aesthetic that like everyone tries to sell you on in terms of like, you know.
Yeah, there was a
you realize like it's not like, you know, just being shredded doesn't necessarily mean you're like a healthy fucking person. You know?
I saw a TikTok of somebody had posted about Arnold Schwarzenegger when he wasn't training.
Yeah.
Like when he was doing movie stuff and how he looked then.
He
and
still
it was
looks
like,
good.
He still looked good. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, he wasn't a Mr. Olympia like training when he was doing Terminator 2.
Yeah.
But he was still like in pretty good shape. Like he's in amazing shape. Like you can have abs and still be at around like 5 to 10% body fat, but like, you know, you should ideally be around 10 to 15.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're supposed to have some fat on you.
I'm going to walk around with a cigar like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And some of that stuff is just really genetics, though, because, like,
so much of your body is genetics.
Did you there was a I remember watching the run up to the Floyd Mayweather Ricky Hatton fight.
Yeah.
Years ago. And Floyd Mayweather's dad was one of the trainers for Ricky Hatton. And he had a fucking 12-pack at 60-something years old.
Yeah.
And he was like, every morning for breakfast, I eat chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And he did. And he was like, and he's just like, I'm just, this is my life. I'm just gifted.
Yeah.
Just like blessed like that.
I mean, he also, he doesn't eat chocolate cake for every meal. But the fact that he's able to do it at all and look like that is
right.
Yeah.
And it's also like, well, also like probably doing like a workout routine for like more than like, you know, 75% of your life.
True.
Your body's
true.
Kind of just like a furnace for calories at that point.
Yeah. If I eat chocolate cake tonight, I would feel it for the next 3 days.
Yeah.
I don't have the metabolism to process that.
It sucks, dude.
That's why I don't eat vegetables.
Yeah. All right. Derek, where can people find you?
Oh, man. At Hump Derek on all socials.
Yes. And the new album, you have when it's coming out yet?
Sometime
soon.
I'm editing it now. Just shot the cover for it yesterday.
Nice.
Hopefully in the next like 30 days or so. It's got to go. It's got to be out before I leave the city.
In the meantime, listen to some Jelly Roll.
And tell him he looks like Derek Humphrey.
Yeah.
Let's turn this narrative around.
I agree. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and don't piss off the Fast and Furious community.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. Thank you guys
for
listening.
Having me, man.
Stick around for the Patreon.